wondering what's up.
Yeah, I told him, I was, it's gonna take a month.
Not that I'm aware of. That's not, I'm not aware of.
Mine's my fault.
Oh, okay.
Have they lost their police force?
PC?
Yeah.
And this guy.
I had, wow, they said they were.
Well, their chief, was it?
Yeah, he was like, new hire.
Yeah. And they didn't renew, yeah, and then so when he left, a couple of officers, yeah.
I guess the person got it.
I was just talking to your cousin, now you don't have names and they don't have.
Oh, yeah.
You good?
I know, better than stuff.
Mr. Soundman, you tell us when.
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Five, four, three, two, one, five.
Good evening. I'd like to call it a order, Portsmouth City Council meeting for Monday, November the 8th, 2021. Those that are in attendance tonight, we thank you for attending. We ask that you please quiet your cell phones or put them on vibrate as we conduct city business tonight. We'll begin with a moment of silent prayer, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance. Amen. Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We move to item number three on your agenda, which is our roll call. Clerk?
Sean Dunn.
Here.
Charlotte Gordon.
Present.
Kevin E. Johnson.
Present.
Lavette Mosley.
Present.
Edwin Martell. Dennis Packard.
Here.
Manager Sutherland.
Present.
Solicitor Hess.
Here.
Auditor Williams.
Present.
I'll move to excuse the absence of Edwin Martell.
Mr. President Dunn has moved to excuse Councilman Martell. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Council. We move to item number four on your agenda, which is reading and dispensing of the journal from regular session of October the 25th, 2021.
I move to dispense the reading of the journal for regular session dated October 25th, 2021.
Vice President Dunn has moved to dispense of reading of the journal from the regular session, October 25th, 2021. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Council. We move to item number five, which is a public hearing. There's none scheduled for tonight. We move to item number six. This is statements or remarks of citizens present in council chambers. Now, this is for items that's on the agenda. I note all citizens who wish to express themselves in council meetings shall do so with dignity, shall avoid personal references, shall adhere to the question on hand. Citizens that speak are requested to state their name and their address for the record. There's a 5-minute time limit. Do we have any tonight that would like to speak on items that's on our agenda? If so, please step forward.
I'm Karen Hill. I live at 1404 McConnell Avenue. The legislation first reading about the recoveries. We currently have two houses that are being called sober living houses. One house, which is at 1420, is a two-bedroom with four men living there. They started with two men. I have talked with one of the original men. They paid 500 something with two people, and rent got dropped to 350 with four people. Another house, 1309 McConnell, has 6 to 8 men living there, 3 bedrooms. These men are rowdy and loud. They sit on the porch cursing, playing loud music, and possibly more that can't be confirmed. And I think the police have been there, but I can't say that for sure. A neighbor's relative went to some type of a meeting where one of these tenants stood up and identified themselves as a sex offender. We don't know which one it is because no one is registered from that house. Nowhere on Taylor County's, the sheriff's page, nothing. I looked again tonight, still nothing. We can't go up and knock on the door and say, which one of you guys is a sex offender? Now we are hearing that 2 more houses are to be the same kind. One is 2 doors south of 1309, which the address is 1305, and it's a 2-bedroom, which means the homeowner will have a house of this nature on both sides of them. So we got a homeowner going to have a sober living house on each side of them, and they're elderly. The second house that's to be added is at 1423, which is at the corner of Grant and McConnell, and it is to house females across the street from the 4 males in the same type of house. We have been told it will be 8 females in a 3-bedroom house. The problems that we have with this, first of all, they're unsupervised. They have nothing to do but sit on the porches and watch the neighbors, find out when they're coming, when they're going. An example would be, we go to work, we come home same time every day. Thereby, the homeowners are at risk for having break-ins. Although our street is well known for cameras everywhere, everybody knows we have cameras. But if we have, say, 3 people in one house, they do their 90 days, we got 3 more people coming in. Look at all the people we've got watching our activities, knowing everything we're doing. We don't want that in our neighborhood. That's why we have a neighborhood watch group. The parking is already bad. We have one person that lives down in the middle section of, has 5 cars just for their household. So the parking is going to get even worse. The homeowner's property value is going to go down. We have kids of all ages. How do we know if we have a sex offender living in one of these houses? Like I said, unless we go ask them. If they don't report it, we don't know. And we've already been told there's supposed to be one living in that one house. So we do not approve of these houses, and we don't know what to do to stop them. Because the people that own these houses are, quote, renting them. It's not through an agency. They're making lots of money off of these houses, but we're the ones paying the penalties. So I don't know what you all can do, but I know this is something you're looking into, and we want you to know, we've already got 2. We don't want to become a street of sober housing. We have a small street. We don't want this. And we just need your help with that. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have others tonight that would like to speak for items that's on the agenda? If so, please step forward. All right. We'll continue on with business. I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
I apologize. I'm just dragging my feet. Giving somebody else an opportunity. Hugh Boggs. I work in the recovery field, mental health and addiction recovery. Lifelong resident of Portsmouth. And I just came tonight to try to shed a little bit of light. I know that there's a lot of concerns. I come in with the tail end of what the resident was saying, and I'm aware of a lot of those concerns. I don't mean to negate those whatsoever, but I wanted to come in and share the perspective that I have as a helping professional. One thing that we have as part of a hub of addiction in our country is also being a hub of recovery in our country. There's been a lot of people come here for that. And a lot of times I'm dealing with several clients who, when they come to this area for recovery, and I know that's a hot button, just coming here for recovery, but like it or not, we've kind of landed as that. We were on the map nationally as far as the opioid problem, and that has kind of put us on the map as part of a treatment solution as well. And so I just wanted to share part of the perspective that not everybody's a criminal waiting to commit another act when they're in sober living housing. I'm working with a lot of clients that are actually very mindful of trying not to go back to the communities that they came from, but they're wanting to reestablish themselves and integrate into our community because they're trying to keep themselves sober. And if they return to the community that they come from, everything they know is back into the pattern of cycles that they're trying to get away from. So, you know, I was talking with one of our newly elected city councilmen last week about this and just sharing some of those perspectives that as somebody who was not working in the addiction recovery field, he was unaware of some of these perspectives that I was bringing to the table. But, you know, I know that there is a perception that we need to control our neighborhoods, we need to watch our neighborhoods. And, you know, I think if you consider, and the group may not be real educated on the levels of care, but somebody coming into, a new addict coming into treatment would go into a residential level of care requiring, you know, a lot more supervision, a lot more structure. And then as they begin to be stepping down into the community, I think that's where maybe some of the agencies are dropping the ball and not supervising what they're doing with some of those residents as well. But then again, I just wanted to give the perspective that, you know, when you've got a house full of guys that, you know, each one of them can't afford to go rent their place yet, they're still getting on their feet, they're trying to, you know, save up deposit rent, things like that. You do get a lot of guys collecting on the porch. They're not allowed to smoke in these houses. So, you know, they collect on the front porch, and you got that scene of a lot of people sitting around looking like they're doing nothing, looking like it's that element that we don't want in our neighborhoods. Some of these guys are just off their work shift and going outside and smoking because they're not allowed to smoke inside. But, you know, all fairness, some of these guys are, you know, possibly a step away from their next relapse too. But I just wanted to kind of share that perspective that some of the people that are in our community are looking to become productive members of our community and integrate into here. And if there's anything my wife and I can do to help shed a light, I know a couple of you guys personally, you're all welcome to reach out to me. I'll answer any questions that I can if it's helpful to anybody in the group. Thank you.
Mr. Baltz, can I have your address, please?
Yes, ma'am. 3224 Simpson.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Baltz. All right. Do we have others in our audience that would like to speak tonight on items that's on the agenda? All right. Now we'll move on to item number 7. This legislation is for third reading. Clerk?
An ordinance authorizing the appropriation of $25,000 from Capital Improvement Fund Number 301 to be paid from Land Improvement Recreation Grounds Line Item Number 301.335.5502 for new playground equipment for York Park.
I move that this ordinance be passed.
Vice President Dunn has moved that this ordinance be passed. Do we have questions or comments? Being none, clerk.
Sean Dunn.
Aye.
Charlotte Gordon.
Aye.
Kevin E. Johnson.
Aye.
Babette Mosley.
Aye.
Dennis Packard.
Aye.
Yeah, this legislation has passed. We continue on with item number 7B.
An ordinance authorizing the city manager of the city of Portsmouth to enter into a lease agreement with Cornerstone United Methodist Church for the alley east of their parking lot as detailed in the attached lease agreement and exhibits A and B.
I move that this constitute a second reading.
Vice President Dunn has moved this constitutes a second reading. Questions or comments? Clerk?
Charlotte Gordon.
Aye.
Kevin E. Johnson.
Aye.
Babette Mosley.
Aye.
Dennis Packard.
Aye.
Sean Dunn.
Aye.
And this legislation will move on to third reading at next meeting. We move to item 7C.
An ordinance authorizing the city manager of the city of Portsmouth, Ohio to advertise for bids and to enter into contracts with the lowest and or best bidder for required supplies, materials, and services for 2022 in accordance with Ohio Revised Code Section 735.05.
I move this constitute a second reading.
Vice President Dunn has moved this constitutes a second reading. Do we have questions or comments? Sam, I put one. Can this go another reading? Or do
you need it? We're fine.
You're fine? Any other questions? Clerk?
Kevin E. Johnson.
Aye.
Babette Mosley.
Aye.
Dennis Packard.
Aye.
Sean Dunn.
Aye.
Charlotte Gordon.
Aye.
This legislation will move on to third reading at next meeting. We move to item number 7D.
An ordinance authorizing the city manager of the city of Portsmouth to apply, accept, and appropriate funds in the amount of $800,000 from CIP Fund Number 301 for Ohio Department of Natural Resources Land and Water Conservation Fund Grant for the rehabilitation of McKinley Pool.
I move this constitute a second reading.
Mr. President Dunn has moved this constitutes a second reading. Questions or comments?
I have a comment, Mr. President.
Yes, sir.
I think I advise you a little bit about that there may be an issue with this where it may need to be appropriated and carried over. My issue now, after looking into it, is that there won't be enough to actually appropriate this to begin with, $800,000. There will not be, I think the balance was in the above two, but less than 300,000 projected year-end balance for this, for the capital improvement fund. At this point, I would probably go ahead and give this a second reading, and I would leave that up to city manager to come up with a solution. One possibility is it could be changed to be appropriated within the general fund, if that's what city manager would like to suggest for y'all to do. But you can appropriate this if you want by passing this reading. It's just not going to be carried out because there will not be the balance to effectuate that ordinance.
Aren't you supposed to, aren't you required to certify funds are available before we can pass any type of...
Available or in the process of collection. Year end's a little different because at the year, end of the year, and I can say that they're in the process of collection if I have information that tells me that we are going to get this funding. But where year end's going to be different is I can't carry over a negative balance legitimately. So the only thing I can think of if you want to proceed with this is to appropriate that into the general fund. And I, going back to the last meeting and the conference session actually when this was discussed, it's my understanding that we're not paying $800,000. We are certifying to ODNR that $800,000 will be there in some form or another. But not to say that the capital improvement fund or any other city fund is going to pay $100,000. It's my understanding that they just want to be certified that we're going to have the funding from somewhere. That way, and the bulk of that would be, or at least half of that would be from the grant that we get from ODNR. So that would reduce the city's contribution to a maximum of $400,000 unless we get money from the county or community action or any other grants that might be available. But something would have to change in order for this. And you can change it next year. If you want to temporarily authorize it to the general fund, and then next year, I could say that the money will be there. We'll have a fresh pot of money coming in for 2022, but for 2021, it's not there.
Isn't that kind of a shell game by appropriating it to a different fund?
Well, if we were to say we need $800,000, do we have it? I'd say absolutely not to be able to pay out right now. If we're doing it for the purpose of satisfying a grant agreement that says, are you going to have $800,000 for somewhere when this project becomes available to you, then no, I wouldn't call it a shell game. It's just satisfying requirements that are placed on us that aren't actual cash requirements. No one believes that we're going to pay, I don't believe so, no one believes that we're going to pay $800,000 cash
right.
out of city capital improvement fund. But if that's their requirement to say that you're going to have $800,000 from somewhere, be it CIP grants, contributions. The problem is timing.
Well, What if this was just tabled and worked on that for the first of the year?
I would have told you that to start with, but they need it by November...
14th or 15th.
14th or 15th?
That's when the application's due, right?
Yes.
Well, if you don't pass this tonight, that's not going to be in effect anyway.
Yeah.
We need to do something similar, I think, with the skate park, because we applied to the same ODNR fund for Land and Water Conservation Fund. And we ended up getting half from them, and then another chunk from the Community Development Block Grant, and then other things from like the Tony Hawk Foundation and all that. But I think when we put in that application, we had to say, okay, we'd have the money to back it. So I know we had a great meeting actually at 14th Street Community Center about it. And did Tracy say anything specific to you, Sam, about just having this acknowledged that we have money that we can make?
There was an email sent from the grant tours that we needed to demonstrate we were committing to that funding.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't necessarily mean we're spending $800,000, because this is a 50% grant.
Mm-hmm.
But they wanted to know that we were committed to the project, I think is what she was trying to get across.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think if we make that, you know, pledge, and we get, say, $400,000 from ODNR, and then other monies from, you know, other entities, whether it's nonprofits, another municipality entity like county, then that's where the money would come from. But I think the whole reasoning from going this path is not to spend the whole amount of money ourselves doing exactly the pool renovation.
That said, if you intend to proceed with this and want to have it in effect before the grant application deadline, I would suggest that you amend it to the general fund.
Okay.
And probably actually needs to be passed tonight.
Right, and then waive it.
Okay, I'll withdraw that earlier motion, and I'll move to amend, and rather than say from CIP fund number 301, you just say the general fund?
Yes.
It's the general fund?
So if I may pose a question, that we're going to fund this from the, we're going to take from the CIP, or we're going to take from the general to put over to the CIP, is that right?
No, you're just going to delete CIP and appropriate it to the general fund, where there is a sufficient balance to be able to carry it over. That's the issue, is carrying this appropriation over. Otherwise, if there's not funding there, which there's not in the CIP, that appropriation that you approved tonight, you can approve an appropriation on December 31st, and if there's not money there, then it would be not carried over to January 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And you also make that amendment for section one also.
And you can change this next year. I don't intend for you to fully commit that this money will come from a general fund. It was intended from the CIP. You can change it next year.
I don't like where we're going with the money on this, but okay.
The only alternative is to defeat it, not approve this ordinance.
And then we'd lose a grant.
Yeah. It is, again, we notified, I mean, it was the same grant that we went for about 3 years ago, I think it was, for the skate park.
I don't think
ODNR cares where
we say that we're going to pay it from. They just want to know that we have the money available.
They're looking for a commitment.
Yeah.
So they're making money next year
itself. I think added to that, though, I think they're just trying to show that the government is aware of different grant applications, and if something were to come up, there's something to cover it. Again, I think the example I used at the last meeting was, like, they gave 155 at first, they pledged, and then when they reviewed it a little further, they realized part of our list of expenses was security cameras. And they came back and said, well, we no longer fund purchases of security cameras, so we're going to move it from 155 to like 149, something like this. And so one of the things they're just trying to make sure is if there's an adjustment like that, it doesn't end the project. And I think the second thing they're trying to make sure is that if municipalities are applying for grants, everybody in that municipality is aware of it, essentially. And we're essentially that's what we're acknowledging, is that we're aware of.
And another example of where that doesn't seem to be a problem is, we're committing the $800,000 because ultimately the city is responsible for that amount. And we intend to get $400,000 from ODNR. We might come up with another $200,000 from another grant, and another $200,000 from another grant, or a big donation of some kind, and then end up paying zero for either the general or the capital improvement fund. By saying that we're going to pay it from either one of those funds doesn't mean that we ultimately will do that. It means that we're committed to do that if necessary, but not, and I hope that we are, continuing to look for alternate funding sources to offset the bottom line that we do have to pay. But I think ODNR just wants a commitment that if they award us the grant, we're going to put in our share of whatever sources that we can obtain.
What was the other part I had to change?
Just in the preamble in section one.
So in the preamble in section one to change, the CIP fund number 301 to general fund. Okay,
yes.
So those are the two things. So I'll first move to amend, then I would go to the three reading rule.
Yes.
Okay. So I'll make that motion to amend.
All right, motion has been made to amend. Do we have any questions or comments?
I do. I did all the talking. I'd like to hear if the city manager is in agreement with what I've said, or if he just wants to scrap it, or if I'm crazy, or...
It's not mutually exclusive.
If we're going to move forward with the project, I don't think we've got any other choice.
So when it comes time to actually pay, you know, we're not going to know that we get the grant until next year, until the next calendar year. Right. Right. And so when it does come time, if we are awarded the grant and we are using some of our money, then we just make the motion to switch it back to general, to the CIP, and then take it out of capital. Right. Okay. So in fact, nothing needs to come out of general at the end of the day. All right. Right.
Right now, this is going to show the general fund, though, right? And what does this do for fiscal watch?
Anything that we do in the general fund affects fiscal watch.
And so, since we're shut a general fund, then it's going to affect fiscal watch.
But we're not actually taking money out of it. We're just saying that we would commit it toward a grant if we are awarded the grant. Correct?
Correct.
But we're still showing it from general.
Yes. You have to show it from general. We don't have it.
So when the auditor looks at it, he sees $800,000 from general, right?
Yes. Correct.
We can spell it however we want, but that's where it is. So chances of us getting off fiscal watch anytime soon with this happening is what?
Yeah, they give the results of the application for the grant on, it's essentially opening day of baseball. So we would know by then if we're getting that grant. And so again, this what we're saying is that we're pledging that we have this money. Now, if the grant doesn't materialize, then we would have to search for other sources of funding.
And I would not be, at that point, I would assume we would no longer, we're doing this for a grant application, so I would assume you would want to not have that appropriation in for $800,000 in effect from any fund if we find out we're not getting the grant. Mm-hmm.
After they resolve, yeah.
Unless you have another plan by then.
All right. Any other questions or comments? Okay, the motion to amend, I believe, is what's on the floor right now.
Yes, this is to amend. Lavette Mosley?
Aye.
Dennis Packard?
Aye.
Sean Dunn?
Aye.
Charlotte Gordon?
Aye.
Kevin E. Johnson?
No.
I'll move to waive the three reading rule.
As President Dunn has moved to waive the three reading rule. Clerk?
Mr. Dennis Packard.
Aye.
Sean Dunn.
Aye.
Charlotte Borden.
Aye.
Kevin E. Johnson.
No.
Lavette Mosley.
Aye.
Rereading rule has been waived.
I move that this ordinance be passed.
Vice President Dunn has moved that this ordinance be passed. Do we have questions or comments? Clerk?
Sean Dunn.
Aye.
Charlotte Borden.
Aye.
Kevin E. Johnson.
No.
Lavette Mosley.
Aye.
Dennis Packard.
Aye.
And this ordinance has passed. We move to item number 7E on your agenda.
An ordinance authorizing the city auditor to amend appropriations to reflect actual revenues and expenditures in order to balance and close the city's books for the fiscal year 2021.
Trent, you didn't need this to be passed. I'll move this constitute a second reading.
Vice President Dunn has moved this constitutes a second reading. Do we have questions or comments? Clerk?
Charlotte Borden.
Aye.
Kevin E. Johnson.
Aye.
Lavette Mosley.
Aye.
Dennis Packard.
Aye.
Sean Dunn.
Aye.
This ordinance will move on to third reading at next meeting. We flip a page and we go to item number 7F.
An ordinance to amend the zoning map of the city of Portsmouth, Ohio by rezoning 2016 Robinson Avenue and 2032 Robinson Avenue from its current zoning of residence to business A.
I move this constitute a second reading.
Vice President Dunn has moved this constitutes a second reading. Do we have questions or comments? Clerk?
Kevin E. Johnson.
Aye.
Lavette Mosley.
Aye.
Dennis Packard.
Aye.
Sean Dunn.
Aye.
Charlotte Borden.
Aye.
And this ordinance has passed. We'll move on for third reading at next meeting. We move to item 7G, legislation for first reading.
An ordinance enacting a new chapter entitled Recovery Housing of the Codified Ordinances of the City of Portsmouth.
I'll move this constitute a first reading.
Vice President Dunn has moved this constitutes a first reading. Do we have questions or comments? Clerk?
Lavette Mosley.
Aye.
Dennis Packard.
Aye.
Sean Dunn.
Aye.
Charlotte Borden.
Aye.
Kevin E. Johnson.
Aye. This legislation will move on to second reading at next meeting. We move to item 7H.
An ordinance authorizing the city service director to enter into a new lease agreement with Watch Me Grow Ohio for the purpose of utilizing the flood wall adjacent to the campground and restroom facilities for artwork enhancements as detailed in the attached amended lease agreement, Exhibit A.
I move this constitute a first reading.
Vice President Dunn has moved this constitutes a first reading. Questions or comments? Clerk?
Dennis Packard.
Aye.
Sean Dunn.
Aye.
Charlotte Borden.
Aye.
Kevin E. Johnson.
Aye.
Lavette Mosley.
Aye.
This legislation will move on to second reading next meeting. Item number 7I is a resolution.
Resolution requesting the Scioto County Auditor David L. Green certify to the City of Portsmouth the total current property tax valuation of the City of Portsmouth along with the estimated property tax revenue that would be generated by the addition of a 1 mil or a 1.5 mil street resurfacing levy.
I move this resolution be adopted.
Vice President Dunn has moved this resolution be adopted. Do we have questions or comments? Clerk?
Sean Dunn.
Aye.
Charlotte Borden.
Aye.
Kevin E. Johnson.
Aye.
Lavette Mosley.
Aye.
Dennis Packard.
Aye.
This resolution has been adopted. Item number 7J.
A resolution supporting a property tax reward program to be implemented as part of the Portsmouth Shop Local campaign.
I move this resolution be adopted.
Vice President Dunn has moved this resolution be adopted. Do we have questions or comments?
I'll just quickly comment to the Shawnee State students in the audience. This resolution, there was a Shawnee State student that helped write this resolution. And so one of the things it'll do is encourage people to support local businesses. It'll increase foot traffic there. And we're aiming, this is in about 25 or 26 municipalities in New Jersey. And they just started the first program for college students there in Rowan or Stockton. And so we're hoping to make it available as well to Shawnee State students. Some of you may not own property, which is fine as an undergraduate student, but instead of a property tax rebate, it would feature a refund check at the end of the year. But anyway, it was a Shawnee State student that helped with it.
All right. Any other questions or comments?
I would like to ask Councilman Dunn, how many establishments are already set up with this?
Well, they didn't sign contracts yet, but basically the types of businesses that express interest range from restaurant, bars, an eye doctor for selling, mainly just for selling glasses and things like that, an appliance store, and a, I guess, food market is what I would say, health food store. So it's a wide range of different categories of places.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Anything else? Clerk?
Charlotte Gordon?
Aye.
Kevin E. Johnson?
Aye.
Yvette Mosley?
Aye.
Dennis Packard?
Aye.
Sean Dunn?
Aye.
And this resolution has been adopted. We move to item 7K.
There was a typo in this that we have corrected, so I will read it as corrected. A resolution by the Portsmouth City Council extending a moratorium of 1 year adopted on November 23rd, 2020, being resolution 25 of 2020 on new health care, medical rehabilitation, counseling, or mental health facilities within the city of Portsmouth, Ohio, for an additional period of 6 months to and including May 23rd, 2022.
I move this resolution be adopted.
Vice President Dunn has moved this resolution be adopted. Questions or comments? Clerk?
Kevin E. Johnson?
Aye.
Yvette Mosley?
Aye.
Dennis Packard?
Aye.
Sean Dunn?
Aye.
Charlotte Gordon?
Aye.
This resolution has been adopted. That concludes the legislation portion of tonight's meeting. We move to item number 8 on the agenda. Now, this is statements or remarks of citizens present in council chambers. This is for items that's not on the agenda. I note all citizens who wish to express themselves in council meetings shall do so with dignity, shall avoid personal references, shall adhere to the question on hand. Citizens that are speaking are requested to state their name and their address for the record. There's a 5-minute time limit. Do we have any tonight that would like to speak on items not on the agenda? If so, please step forward. Certainly.
Good evening, everybody. I'm Sarah Rudity. I live at 1414 Offner Street. I am the secretary for the 14th Street Community Center and speaking on behalf of the board this evening. We are here to ask you, the city council, to help support us financially over the next 3 years. I think you're all aware of this, and we'll stick around to talk during the manager's meeting afterwards. I just wanted to talk a little bit about the wonderful things that the community center does. For those of you that are not aware of all the great partnerships and programs that we provide. So we have almost close to 20 community partners that we work with on a regular basis. Those include the major universities, Shawnee State University, Ohio State University. We work with Community Action. We work with the Counseling Center. PATH Integrated Health Services has an office within our community center, so kids can get mental health screening and services right on site. We feed children and senior citizens and shut-ins. We offer tutoring programs. We offer a summer outreach program. I think you're all aware of that one. And we offer funeral services and bereavement services for community members that are not financially able to sustain those costs for their family members. And you know, I could probably go on for the full 5 minutes, but I wanted to mention a little bit about the good work we're doing as a board and with our director. We recently received a grant from the Palatine Foundation to do strategic planning. Councilman Gordon had suggested this when we had talked to her a couple of years ago, and so we went full force with this. We're working with a professional strategic planner. We're working on our 3, 5, and 10-year plans. We are fiscally doing pretty decently, but we're ready to take the community center to the next level. We need to, really, as a board, we've decided through the strategic planning, we'd really need to hire another part-time director, someone that's really going to be our administrative COO-type person. We need someone that's really good with, you know, bookkeeping and those sorts of things. We have wonderful staff, and you all know Maxine Malone, our current director, and she's wonderful with programming and would like to take that direction. So we're trying to work with what we've got. I think that we provide a lot of services for the community, for the children and adults alike, and for the county that, you know, otherwise those people would be left untouched. So we are asking, I know that we can talk about it afterwards. There was a letter I saw that was for 3 years, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. We'd like, if it's possible, to amend that to $20,000, $20,000, $20,000 for each year for a total of $60,000 for 3 years. That would help us with the immediate hire of a new staff person. So we will be sticking around for questions later and looking forward to your all decision. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, do we have others in the audience tonight that would like to speak on items that's not on the agenda? If so, I ask you to please step forward.
My name is Debbie Schulze. I live at 1401 Layton Drive in Portsmouth. There was a notification today that came up on Facebook from the Lost Pets side of county, and I thought that that was going to be discussed. I'm sorry. I don't know what to do, but we need to have a committee. There's so many abused, neglected, dumped animals all over town, and the places like side of county, like Sierra's Haven and different places like that, that they're just inundated with all these animals they can't take anymore. So when people are writing that they're finding these animals, there's nowhere to take them. And I don't know if, how to start doing some kind of a committee and working with you and see if we can get some kind of funds or grants, whatever, to try to take care of this problem. Because I know that, you know, if you call the sheriff's department or whatever and you say, I see this dog and it's emaciated, or it's out in the cold and it doesn't have proper care, doesn't have food, doesn't have water, doesn't have shelter. I don't want to criticize. They're just so overwhelmed that they don't, you know, they just can't do it all. And I just am kind of grasping at what could be done, and I'd be willing to volunteer to be on any kind of committee to research this and see what can be done about getting grants or anything like that to help with the problem that we have in Portsmouth and Sauter County.
Okay. All right, thank you. I'll remind those in attendance tonight too, maybe it's your first time, that when you speak to council, this is our opportunity to listen to you. We're not afforded the opportunity to ask you questions or anything like that, but we do take notes. Our clerk has it as part of the minutes, and we do hear what you're saying. And a lot of times it's matters where Sam or one of us will follow back up with you later, but at this point we can't ask questions or answer questions. This is just your chance to speak. With that being said, do we have any others in our audience tonight that would like to speak on items that's not on the agenda? If so, please step forward.
My name is Carlton Cave, and I live at 1521 Waller Street here in the city of Portsmouth, Ohio. And as you were talking, my mind went to the fact that I guess I live in a floodplain here in the city of Portsmouth that is only about four blocks, according to the insurance people. I had talked with the city manager, and I believe he is trying to work on that, but I wanted to also make it council aware of this problem. Every time that it rains heavily, right there at 16th, the bottom of 16th and Waller, where the underpass is, Of course, it floods, which is, you know, that's a nice place to have the water go, keep it from being in my yard. But coming around down Waller Street, there in front of Pleasant Green, and over to Bannon Park, there, the Beulah Baptist Church is constantly flooded because the sewers cannot take the water. And so, you know, I'm listening to all this debate about the infrastructure bill, and nobody wants to pass it but on the national level. But somebody needs to look at it here at the local level to try and alleviate that problem. Because of that little taboo there, I am probably one of just a few people here in the city of Portsmouth that has to pay flood insurance every year. Huh? I doubt that anyone sitting around this table has to pay flood insurance. And look at the locations where you live, and then look where I live, right in the middle of the city of Portsmouth, and I have to pay flood insurance. So if you could at all take a serious look at that, and let's see what we can do to get that problem solved. Thank you for my time.
Thank you, sir. Do we have others tonight that would like to speak on items that's not on the agenda? If so, I ask you to please step forward. All right. Then we'll move on. We'll move on to item number 9. This is our miscellaneous business and reports. Number 9A, it's our city clerk's report.
I received via email on November 3rd, 2021 from the auditor's office for the following summary statements of the combined month-to-date, year-to-date reports for the period ending October 31st, 2021, expense, revenue, and fund reports. And that concludes my report.
Yeah, I move the city clerk's report be received, filed, and made part of the record.
Vice President Dunn has moved that the city clerk's report be received, filed, made part of the record. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Council. Item number 9B, City Manager's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just want to let Council know we are working on the budget. I'm hoping to have it to you here within the next couple of weeks. It's a moving target again, so please be patient. I'm actually meeting with the hospitalization providers tomorrow, insurance providers, to try to get some final numbers on that. And like I said, you'll have it here pretty soon. Just bear with me. Councilman Dunn, you and I get a chance sometime in the next week or two. We can sit down and talk about the door, what you want to see changed. And then I think I've got enough research done now to figure out what we need to do to make those changes. Okay. And to Mr. Cave, we are working on that problem. Basically, the flood maps got changed by some engineering that was done several years back. We're working right now with an engineering firm to get what they call a letter of map revision to get this situated. And then we will start looking into the other situation you're talking about with the flooding. But the reason your insurance got changed is because the maps got revised through FEMA, and we're working to get that back, changed back to the way it was. And that's all I've got.
I move that the city manager's report be received, filed, and made part of the record.
Vice President Dunn has moved the city manager's report be received, filed, and made part of the record. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, Council. Item number 9C, the mayor's report. I just have a couple of things. I attended my last tree commission meeting this past Wednesday, the 3rd, and I did announce my resignation as I'll be leaving council after the first of the year. With that being said, that's a position that we really need a council member on, and I have an idea of who I'd like to ask to fill that position, so I'm going to be reaching out to you this week. I'll keep it quiet right now, so just somebody's going to get that call. Tree Commission does a sensational job in our community, and it's a good job, and it's a once-a-month meeting, and so I want to wish them the best, and it's been a real honor to serve on that commission. Also want to remind everybody the JC's Christmas Parade. That's coming up the 18th And that's at 6 p.m., am I correct on that?
Yes.
6 p.m. So it's the annual Christmas parade. Last year with COVID, no, we didn't get to do this. So this year we're going to do it. And council, I hope you'll join us in the parade. We're all going to be there waving at folks and going through, and Santa himself will be there. So hope to see everybody out for that. And that's all I have for the mayor's report tonight.
I move that the mayor's report be received, filed, and made part of the record.
Vice President Dunn has moved the mayor's report be received, filed, made part of the record. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you, council. We move to number 9D, Solicitor Hess report.
No report this evening.
Thank you, Mr. Solicitor. 9E, our auditor's reports.
No report.
Thank you, Mr. Auditor. We move to miscellaneous business from City Council. We go to First Ward Councilman Sean Dunn.
Okay, since the last meeting, I was able to actually attend a meeting at the 14th Street Community Center. I know it had to be hastily organized, so thank you to Mr. Drew Carter for putting that together and for all those that attended. Part of the purpose of this meeting was for people to talk about their experiences and memories of the pool and their hope for it to be renovated so that future generations can make memories at the pool. And so it was, I thought, a great meeting. Stories behind the pool are great, and when we talk about the need for renovating it, I think the stories really stood as really as testimony to why how important this pool is. And so again, thank you to Drew and also to the 14th Street Community Center for hosting that. The construction of the skate park continues, and it's great seeing progress get done there. Last week we had Spectrum News here. Tomorrow morning they'll be airing a feature on both the skate park construction and the grand opening of the multi-use path here on Front Street, which we just had last week. And so I'd like to thank Tracy Shearer for her work on the multi-use path. I've been able to test it out. It's great. I use it on my way to work. And it's just a great addition to our city's downtown. And so I also thank Spectrum for covering various developments in our city. These latest ones just being part of probably about four stories now that they've done about activities in Portsmouth. One I found was the part on the Watch Me Grow program that's connected to the 14th Street Community Center. I'll be attending a meeting later in the month to discuss the historical importance of the of Spartan Municipal Stadium. There's a group interested in developing kind of different activities that would bring more attention to its historical significance and just its the role that it's played in the city of Portsmouth's history. And that's later in the month. And then finally, I guess getting winning an election unopposed is kind of like winning on a bye week, but I am grateful that people voted for me. I mentioned to students at Shawnee State about 4 years ago, I ran when a lot of people didn't know me, and I got about 220 or 30 votes, and after 4 years of knowing me, I got 177 votes this time around. But anyway, I do thank everyone that voted in that ward and all the wards. You know, local elections are extremely important. We saw some that were very hard fought out. You know, congratulations to Andy Cole for winning in the third. I know there's a lot of Shawnee State students here. Today we were in class, I was talking about the comparison of John L. Sullivan, great boxer, and as well as the Irish American Athletic Club. And I made the point that we shouldn't understand differences in how we on how we're dealing with this idea of race as some kind of linear path of progression. Because back then, you had John L. Sullivan enforcing the color line based on who he was willing to box. And on the other side of that spectrum, you had the Irish American Athletic Club, which was a very cosmopolitan club, very open and welcoming club, everything from Irish immigrants to Eastern European Jewish athletes. And of course, the first African-American to win gold at the Olympics was a member of the Irish American Athletic Club. And so I've gotten a lot of commentary about this last election. There's a, you know, a horrible, horrible atmosphere of dishonesty, of cowardice, of just misinformation that was presented in two of the three wards. And it's, like I said, you know, you can't think of things going in this linear direction like this. There's people on different sides of things at each step of the way. And so, you know, there's a lot of things that come out in elections. People get very emotive and they get combative and so forth. But we witnessed something truly terrible in this last election. Dishonesty, misinformation, and so forth. And it's just unfortunate that people resort to that when running for an office and when supporting someone to run for an office. That being said, you know, it's something that we have to continue to work on as a city, and I'm looking forward to doing that for the next 4 years. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Councilman. We move to Second Ward Councilwoman Gordon.
All right, I just have a few things. I too attended the multi-use path opening. It was very festive. Thank you to the chamber and to Connects and everyone that was there. It was really a festive occasion, and it's really an asset to our city. So if you haven't gone down there to see it, I encourage you to do so. I do want to thank the Board of Elections. Actually, Councilman Packard and I were there at the courthouse the night of the election, and they put in a long day, and I do want to thank the Board of Elections for working very hard in the hours that they work. This Thursday is Veterans Day, and I would like to thank everyone who has served our country and is continuing to serve our country now. It's an important role, and I think it's something that a lot of people take for granted, and I just want to say, observe it. Thank a veteran that day for our freedom. I also want to thank our city workers. The Esplanade looks fabulous, and you all should drive down in the evening. I'm waiting for our first little snowfall because the lights look really great in the snow. But the tree is great, and the lights are great, and the new benches, and our Esplanade is looking really great. And I would also like to extend a happy anniversary a day early to Councilwoman Mosley, and she informed me that tomorrow is her 1 year serving on council. So I have enjoyed serving with you, so thank you. And that concludes my report.
All right, thank you, Councilwoman Gordon. We move to Third Ward Councilman Kevin D. Johnson, myself, and I didn't really have a report tonight, but Councilman Dunn did remind me. I do want to congratulate our newest council elect members. Congratulations to Councilman Cole, Councilman Sandlin. If I can work with you guys or help you guys on anything in the future, please feel free to reach out and contact me. Okay, congratulations to both of you. And that concludes my Third Ward report. Fourth Ward Councilwoman Mosley.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to begin by saying that I attended a Hilltop Initiative meeting at Mound Park. It was very, very informative. There's going to be a lot of planning going on up at revitalizing Mound Park. I spent a couple of hours with Auditor Williams going over the different fund sources that we have. He really enlightened me on a lot of different things as to where the money's going and putting in different funds. So when I'm here at council now and you say fund 101, I know what he's talking about. So it was very, thank you.
You're welcome.
I want to thank our city manager and the Andy and Justin, our code enforcers. We handled some residential, residents' concerns this past week and a half, and they really got on top of some things for me, and I really appreciate it. I will be going down to see the Escanade. I like seeing the lights and everything, and I too went on the activity path, and it's very nice. Very nice. We needed that in our city, and that's all my report.
All right, thank you, Councilwoman Mosley. We move to 6th Ward, Councilman Packard.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just a couple items. I would like to thank Sam, Jack, and the Service Department for their ongoing cleanup efforts in our ward. I got to personally witness some severe potholes, some traffic signal outages, and some downed trees that the Service Department was on instantly. I really appreciate that. The residents really appreciate that, sir. And some ongoing efforts from the city courts to provide us with some of the community service help, and that's going well. We managed to get quite a bit cleaned up. That's all I've got, sir.
All right, Councilman Packard, thank you. Council, do we have any further business?
Mr. Mayor, are we going to discuss the December dates?
Oh, I was supposed to do that on the mayor's report, wasn't I? Yeah, let's back up on that one. How does council feel about with the holiday schedule moving, doing two meetings in a row? What's the dates on that?
First Monday and second Monday of December?
I initially said the 13th and 20th.
Yeah.
But Councilman Dunn had requested maybe that we do the 6th and the 13th.
I would be fine with that, but I'm just one of those. Work for you, Councilman Dunn?
The first and the second Monday, yeah.
Yeah.
6th and 13th?
Yeah. December 6th and December 13th.
And it'll be 2 weeks from the previous November meeting on the 6th.
Does that affect any business, year-end, anything that...
Works for me.
Does the 6th and 13th work for all?
That works for me.
It works for me.
Then I'd like to include that in the mayor's report, that we'll be moving the December meetings to the 6th and the 13th respectively. Thank you for catching that, clerk.
And our newspaper guy's here, so you'll get it in for us. Thank you.
Can I ask, while we're talking about dates, what's the date of the January meeting?
The first date is the 3rd. That's our organizational meeting.
Okay.
And then the next meeting will be the 10th, and then the 24th. We get back on track. The first one is just organizational. It doesn't take near as long as the other.
Right.
The 3rd is not a holiday for the 1st?
No. Well...
First is a Saturday.
It's the Friday before, though, right?
After researching that further, I'm moving it back to the 3rd.
Okay.
You can't, it would be like giving an extra holiday for 1 year and shorten folks the next year.
Okay.
So that's how I put the memo out. So 24th, 27th will be Christmas holiday observances. Then the 3rd of January will be for the New Year's holiday.
So we're closed, so the city's kept closed, city buildings closed?
On the 3rd, yes.
Okay, so that would move it, according to our new ordinance that we passed, that would move it to the 4th.
Right.
Okay.
The other thing you might want to think about for the 4th, the organizational meeting, is a good time to review the council rules, to go through them and determine if there's anything that you want to change or not. That was aimed at council. I think they heard me. But that's a good time to do, because you're going to readopt the council rules at the organizational meeting. So if you want to make any changes, that's a good time to do it.
To make them go longer, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, maybe the minimum time for a meeting being 2 hours or something, maybe.
Well, was it 5 minutes for
I'll let that new body do that. So, okay, so we've moved the dates of council meetings.
All right.
And your organizational meeting will be the 4th at 6 p.m.
24. All right.
All right.
I'll move to adjourn.
All Vice President Dunn has made a motion to adjourn. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Let the minutes reflect, City Council at 7:04 is adjourned. Give it a couple of minutes and we'll go right to our city managers.